Welcome to the X29 Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Metters. As a diverse global community of churches, two things are vital for X29: prayer and collaboration. And everything from sharing resources to developing training to encouraging the downcast, pastors and church planters really need one another. And without acknowledging our utter dependence on God in prayer, all of our work, all of our collaboration really just amounts to spinning our wheels. This is why Philip Moore joins me on the podcast today to discuss X29's Resource Collaboration Hub and our global prayer meeting. Philip is originally from Northern Ireland, and in 2006, he moved to France to pastor a church in the Paris area. And since then, that church has planted three daughter churches and a church in the center of Paris. Philip is one of X29's associate directors, as well as the network director for Europe. Well, Philip, welcome back again to the X29 podcast.
Thank you.
Well, let's dive right in. Let's cut straight to the chase for our topic. We're here to talk about two aspects of X29's global identity. One, people probably have not heard about, and the other, the global prayer meeting, I hope they have heard about and participated in, but we want to encourage more people to participate and cast some vision for that. So one, they definitely haven't heard about the first one, the ARCH Project. What is the ARCH, the ARCH Project?
Yeah, well, as you've just pointed out, it's an acronym, and it stands for the X29 Resource and Collaboration Hub. And the ARCH, it's quite a neat acronym, because it kind of communicates this idea of a bridge, of linking things together, of connecting things, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about connecting theological minds in X29 and outside X29, so we can collaborate, share knowledge, and then move towards a global understanding of the gospel that will help us plant churches in a more informed, more contextualized, more faithful way. I think as a global network, we have this great opportunity of learning and doing theology together with all those different facets from around the globe that we have. It's quite a unique position to be in, to be able to harness all that energy, harness all that knowledge, all that practical experience, and moving forward together. So the ARCH Project is there for that, for creating, for sharing theological resources, for wrestling through theological issues together, understanding what they mean for each global context, and then hopefully building up from that a better picture in the round of what it is we're trying to do. You might compare it to a theological society in some ways, but with our particular distinctives.
Yeah, it sounds great, man. I think the ARCH Project is such an exciting global theological collaborative project. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about the history of ARCH, kind of how it came about, and really who were some of the characters, some of the people involved?
Yeah, well, we first met just before the pandemic broke out in December 2019 in Paris, and we got together and we spent some time just finding out about different people's contexts, what they were doing, what they needed, what they could provide, and just started to feel our way towards what it might be to collaborate. Then the pandemic hit and we had to wait for more than a year to reset the whole project. But the kind of people involved, and let me just give you some names. Some of these might be familiar, some of them not so familiar. Dan Strange, he's a Crosslands prof, and he's really well known for his work on contextualization. There is Bat Manika, he's the academic dean at the South African Theological Seminary, working from an African context. There's Jen Charteris, she's the executive director of Crosslands. Tony Morita, director of theological training for X29. Eric Zeller, who works in the Middle East in the Gulf Training Center. Andrew Fulford, who does something similar in Canada. Juan Hernandez Chica, who works for the Instituto Biblico Salmo in Colombia. Adam Ramsey from Australia. Oni Mukhatli from South Africa. Matthew Spanner Davidson from Church and Heart. This is Brian Lachlan from Grimke Seminary, Brian Hard, who was there as the director, but also as the guy who was behind Equip. All these people came together and we started talking about what it would look like to pull together all that knowledge and not have it on different islands, but non-connected. So the ARCH Project connects all those people, connects all those projects, connects all that idea, and tries to make something more universal, more global about out of it.
Yeah. It's so exciting to hear all these different people and places and contexts coming together. I was in Colombia right before the pandemic broke out with Juan, teaching there at the Psalm 119 Institute there.
That's right.
And it was incredible, just an amazing to see this church-based seminary going and to kind of see what they were doing there and see what others are doing around the world.
Perfect.
To see all this together, so exciting. So I think about in terms of the content that these different contexts are making. making. What kind of content is Arch seeking to develop, and how are you guys looking to deliver that content to everybody?
Yeah, well, you mentioned content, and that's a really important aspect of what we're doing. But there's also the other aspect of what we're trying to do, which is the philosophical ideas behind theological education. So how we actually put that idea together, that process together. And so because the whole thing is so massive and in a way unmanageable, what we found is that there were so many ideas around the table that we had to kind of distill them into two main streams. Those two main streams that we identified were, as you say, content, and then the other stream, the philosophy of theological education. How does that happen best in our different contexts? And so the content was to, the idea was to focus on content creation, more scholarly in nature. And we're going to kind of be running something called a symposium, which you might want to ask me about later. And the future hope is to kind of have a whole big content creation stream going on at a high level within the Acts 29 global network. And then the other philosophy of theological education idea is to work out how different people are doing theological training across our global network. And we're trying to answer questions like, what can we learn from each other? So what's happening in Canada? What's happening in the Middle East? What's happening in England? What's happening in the US? Are there things there that we can put together, commonalities, best practice that we can then work from? And so we've got these great institutions in our network that are working together to try to describe and also achieve what best theological practice looks like in training.
Yeah, that's great. I think there are so many exciting things about the symposia, and I know there's some writing projects. And so in terms of more of that content, how are you guys seeking to develop it and deliver that to everybody?
Yeah, so we mentioned the symposia. So this is a kind of an older sounding word, but hey, we like that in Acts 29, don't we? And the idea is to get together the people that are working at a high theological level and getting them to deliver context rich and contextualized material. So you know that in Acts 29 we've got the idea that the local church is where everything happens, and we're doing everything in respect of and for the local church. We're also doing something that is clear theologically, that is also going to be engaged in culture, and something that's going to be missionally innovative. So we're bearing in mind all of our distinctives and then getting together people to talk to themes that will help us do that better across the globe. So different symposia might have different audiences in mind. It'll be mostly for the pastors and planters in Acts 29, but sometimes it might be more geared towards academics and students and scholars, PhD candidates, sometimes more geared towards the pragmatic pastor, local church. But everybody will be invited to those symposia so that they can listen in on these people talking about the ideas that they're developing. Some might be more appropriate for church members or church staff to come along to, and we'll publicize those, and the website for that is in the show notes. If you just want to kind of note these two dates coming up, The first is the 6th of October at 4 p.m. Paris time, and again it'll be on the website that's in the show notes. And essentially we're going to set up what the Arch team is, what symposia are like, and what they're all for. And I'll be interviewing Bat and Dan that we talked about earlier, and they'll be kind of giving the vision and the values of the show for the people who are going to be there. And then the second one I'm really excited about, it's a symposia called Unity in Diversity and Contextual Hermeneutics. So already the title shows you what we're trying to drive at. The person who's going to be leading that and delivering the paper is Professor Elizabeth Mburu. She's the first woman PhD from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and Associate Professor of New Testament and Greek at International Leadership University, Africa International University, and Pan-Africa Christian University in Nairobi, yeah. Kenya. She's actually on the board of the Africa Bible Commentary. I'm not sure if you've seen that. Have you got it?
I was actually looking at it the other day on getting it on Logos. I couldn't decide which one to get. I need to get it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So she was on the board of that. And if you want her full bio, is in the show notes as well. She's going to be kind of delivering a paper on, as I say, Unity in Diversity and Contextual Hermeneutics. And that date is the 9th of December at 4 p.m. Paris time. So again, these are the kinds of things that we're hoping to address. And then out of that, we're going to flow some other spin-off products. There might be some suggestions for hermeneutical ideas for preaching. There might be some blog posts. There might be an article in a journal. But the main thing is get to the symposium, listen in, interact, get excited, get informed, and then we'll see what other content flows out of that. And we hope that it'll be a real kind of rich melting pot for people to get informed and inspired as we develop rich global theological content.
Yeah. I love this stuff. I It's not just for theological nerds, you know, that are out there. This is for everybody who wants to think rightly about God and about His Word and about ministry and our context and how all these things come together. And for so I think there is this, you know, philosophy of theological education that maybe you could tell us about that'll help resource really global church planners and aid in church multiplication over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the idea in that second stream that we're developing is really the creation of a global ecosystem that allows churches to provide contextualized training for potential church planters so that we can deploy competent church planters, competent church planting teams, men and women, all across the globe. We know that the key thing that we're needing to do in nearly every country that I go to is train people up for the church planting task that we have before us. And sometimes we make the mistake of aiming just to find a church planter from somewhere. But of course, church planters evolve out of an ecosystem, out of something that exists. And if we have churches that are training people in a rich theological vein, then out of that rich group of people will emerge some to be church planters, others to be parts of church planting teams, others to be people who can replant churches or who can lead churches. But what we have to do is aim at training the whole of the church base. And not just train them in terms of theology and knowledge, but training them in terms of competence and ministry practice and philosophy of ministry. And so what we're doing is we're comparing notes across all these institutes that I've already mentioned and trying to find out what happens in each of these places that really does prepare people to plant churches. What is it that we can do that's really successful in that? Share that knowledge so that wherever you go in Acts 29, you can tap into somewhere along the line something that will help you prepare your next church planter. Send them out as a competent and tested church planter. And so it's really the creation of these ecosystems. We know what we lack, but what we don't know is who has what we lack. And so the idea of the Arch Project is, again, building that bridge so that what we lack, we can find elsewhere, and what people lack elsewhere, we can provide. And I think we have a rich and a unique opportunity to pursue that in Acts 29.
Yeah. I love that because it just continues to reinforce who we are as a global network, as a diverse global, you know, network of multiplying healthy churches. It's just so critical to who we are and to really put more of this into practice and to demonstrate more of it. And, you know, there's kind of that other piece that we wanted to talk about with the Arch Project and collaboration. So guys, definitely go and check the show notes. So you just scroll up there in your phone, or if you listen, wherever, if you're on Spotify or Google Podcast, and you'll see links to the Arch Project website, to more information that we've talked about, and also the global prayer meeting. This is the other piece of being a global network, because anything we do, it's always by God's grace and for His glory. Hopefully we're always doing it for His glory. And prayer really reminds us of that truth. It deepens our communion with God, and I think it deepens our community with one another. And we do want to be a prayerful network. So Philip, why don't you tell us about the global prayer meeting, what it is, when is it, and really why do we even do it?
Mm-hmm. Kind of emerged during the global pandemic. We felt an increased need to support each other by prayer and across the networks. So we did a first global prayer meeting, and there was a good appetite for it. I mean, we have people who are really sold on the idea. And so we thought, well, what can we do to push this forward? And we come up with the idea of a quarterly global prayer meeting, where it's really turned into a global gathering of 29 pastors, but not only their pastors, their members, their leaders, everybody in the church is invited. Our church members are really the best thing about Acts 29. They're the beating heart of what we do. And so my kind of goal and dream for this is to have all our church members motivated to pray for the mission that we have. The next meeting is on Tuesday, so Tuesday, 21st of September. Depending where you are in the world, the time changes. So just kind of look in the show notes again, click on the link, and the website will lead you to the correct place to sign up for that. And you get the registration link, the time zones, and the communication materials, also to invite your church members there. So that website exists as part of the Acts 29 website, so please just consult it, and that's all the information you need.
That's right. Yeah. So click right there in the show notes and you'll see, I hope you'll come and participate in the global prayer meeting. They really are such a blessing to participate in, to engage with. I love them. I remember picking up my daughter from school one time. It was right about the time when the prayer meeting was going on. I had to get in the car rider line to pick up my daughter, and it happens over Zoom. And so I thought, well, I'll just do it on my phone, on Zoom, on mobile, turn off the video and just put the card down and listen. And then I could unmute and pray when it was my turn to pray. It was just so encouraging. Then my daughter got in the car. She's like, what are we listening to? What is this? I said, oh, it's a global prayer meeting. You know, Acts 29, our church planning network. This is somebody's from South Africa is praying here. Somebody in a different state in the United States is praying. I was like, this is really cool. And she was blown away. She's like, this is really cool. So, I mean, I love it. I think it just creates more community across our network. So, Philip, what do you love most about these times when gospel ministers from all over the world meet online to pray? What do you love about it?
Well, what I love about it is that it is really this kind of democratic opening up of Acts 29 to all of our church members. Sometimes people have criticized Acts 29 for being a members club where pastors get together or pastors and pastors' wives get together. It really isn't. It's really about the churches. And this is a really good expression of that and a really good opportunity for people to realize and discover what it is like to be part of a global network. And so that's one of the kind of the big things that comes out of this. People in the churches become more aware of the reality of being a part of an Acts 29 church and the privilege that it is. And so after the global prayer meetings, we get people to sign up and then we send them an email. And so often people email us back and they'll tell us, you know, their feedback. And some of the feedback is really encouraging. It's like, I just kind of read a couple of these kind of comments that we got. This person from Dallas, Texas, for me, praying with my brothers and sisters around the world was incredibly powerful, a foretaste of heaven. Oregon and USA, I cannot tell you how meaningful it was to see and pray with believers all over the world. It took a long time for me to be able to speak, but I had to fight back tears, witnessing the body of Christ represented in so many different people from all over the globe. And then here's a church planter in Vietnam. So imagine how lonely and isolated that church planter in Vietnam feels. And then listen to what he says. It made me feel like we're not doing ministry here alone, but there are many other brothers and sisters around the world that are walking with us. And so on and so forth. I could multiply those examples. It's essentially just people getting to experience what it is we are as a church planting global network. And that's precious.
Yeah, man. Guys, it is so great to participate in the global prayer meeting. So as you heard Philip say earlier, it is this coming Tuesday. So September 21st, you just log on, sign up, it all happens in Zoom. So there are links in the show notes, or you can go to acts29.com and you can learn more about that. And I know we want to be a prayerful network. I mean, without prayer, really not much will happen. Anything that's worth talking about for longer than 5 minutes won't happen. I remember, you know, somebody asked Spurgeon one time, how is your ministry so fruitful? What does it happen? How does this all happen? And he said, well, our people pray. And he just knew that the people's prayers, not even just his, but his church members, his deacons, his leaders, the laity, everybody praying together for the work of gospel ministry is critical. And Philip, I wonder what would you say to church planters that are listening, to staff members that are listening, that want to encourage and nurture prayer in their churches and families and personal lives? Because I think sometimes we are like, ugh, I don't want to talk about prayer. I'm terrible at it or whatever. You know, sometimes that burden kind of comes on that's not from the Holy Spirit. If it's conviction, okay, sure. But the shame and burden and disappointing feelings that's not from the Lord. And so what would you say to people that you want to encourage them to pray more in their corporate church and personal lives?
Well, kind of building off what you just said about the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit teach us to say? The Holy Spirit teaches us to say, Abba, Father. And essentially that is the core of what it means to pray and the core of what it means to be a Christian, to understand that God has become for us in the work of Jesus Christ our Father, our loving Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who unites us to Christ, enables us to say, Abba, Father. In French, they say this really cool thing. They say, il faut moins concentrer sur la prière et plus se concentrer sur le Père. And that just means concentrate less in prayer and concentrate more on the Father. And essentially, that's what I would encourage people to do. If you want to nurture prayer in your churches, talk less about prayer and talk more about our Heavenly Father. And because as we talk about our Heavenly Father, as we talk about who He is and how He loves us, how He has demonstrated His love, how He wants to show us His love by transforming us, as He's forgiven us, so He will then transform us by the gospel. So all of those things flow to us freely from the Father by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and are applied to our lives by the Holy Spirit, whose role it is to remind us that we are indeed sons and daughters of God. So let's talk about the Heavenly Father. Let's say our Father in heaven. And let's build on who we know God to be. Let's make prayer, yes, things that we do in concentrated periods of time, but let's make prayer something that is as natural to us as breathing, as natural to us as picking up the phone and texting our husband or our wife or our daughter or our son. Let's make it what it really is, which is communication to our loving God, who has revealed himself to be gracious and who has revealed himself to want to listen to his children, who takes pleasure in that, who has ordained also that things will happen as we bring them to him. It's part of his sovereignty. So I just think talk more about the Father and less about prayer, and people will have their hearts stirred to pray more and in a more gospel-centered way.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I think there are some ways that maybe we need to, this may sound crazy, but it's like we almost need to demystify prayer in some ways that, yes, I think there are these very special, heavy affections and pleading and prayer, and those things happen. But I think there's also the casual, I'm talking to my Father. Like, I remember I was teaching some of our high school and middle school students at our church, and I just asked him, who knows how to have a conversation? Who's had a conversation today? You know, everybody raised their hands. And I said, well, there you go. You guys all know how to pray. Hmm. Because what we're doing is we're continuing the conversation with our Father in heaven and with our big brother and with our helper, the Holy Spirit. Like, God has initiated the conversation with us in his word, and we are now talking back to him, what he has said to us. We're responding to him in his word and in our realities. And so I think, you know, prayer, it can be more natural in our churches. And I know Acts 29, we're going to be continuing to be a prayerful network, and getting our churches to pray, getting our people to pray, getting our pastors and leaders to pray and to depend upon the Holy Spirit in our ministries. Mm-hmm. And so, guys, again, check the show notes, sign up, join the global prayer meeting. It's open to everybody in your churches. So invite staff members, invite church members, send it out. We would love to have everybody participate. That's April there on Tuesday, September 21st. And so all the time zones are there. You can check the notes for all the information there on the Acts 29 website. So again, Arch Project, Acts 29 Resource Collaboration Hub, Global Prayer Meeting. Check those things out. We would love for you to participate and look forward to that first Arch gathering there in October. All right, Philip.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, man. I'll do the final three questions that we always do. We can't have you leave without these final three, even though you've been on before. So guys, you can go check out the previous episode that Philip was on and you can see how he answered these back then. But let's see how he answers them today. That's a great book you've read recently that you'd want to recommend.
Going to mention two, one a novel and the other a Christian book. And the novel is A Man Called Ovi by Fredrik Backman, a Swedish novel. Really life-affirming, and surprisingly, the subject matter seems a bit macabre. It's a guy who keeps on trying to commit suicide, but then something always happens to remind him about the beauty and the worthwhile nature of life. And it is really a beautiful and life-affirming novel. So A Man Called Ovi by Fredrik Backman, which I'd recommend. And then the Christian book, which I read over the summer and which was really good for me, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I'm sure you've read it, or maybe you haven't, but it's That's a super good. Book. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to do a confession. I need to reread it. I did the audio book and I listened to it on double speed.
Oh no, that's a really bad thing, especially when you're trying to eliminate hurry.
The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I listened to it on double speed. That might be funny. The ultimate like hypocrisy. Listening to that, I don't think I learned it. So I went and bought the physical copy of the book. I was like, okay,
It's worth a read.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for sure. I'm going to read it this time and not listen to it at double speed. Okay, what's your go-to order in a coffee shop? I think last time you said Americano.
That's right. Still is. I've been actually, if I'm not in a coffee shop, I really like getting the little Italian coffee maker, the stovetop coffee maker out and doing that. So that's kind of I really enjoyed that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe let's pivot. Let's do something different. What is a great meal you've had recently that you would love to just brag about that we would all just...
You're talking to somebody who lives in France, and so there's so many meals to choose from. But one I will talk about is we were in the Alps as a family, and in the Alps, there's many kind of traditional meals that are there. One of them is called raclette, and raclette essentially is a big half cheese that you put onto a machine, and then there's a grill above it, and the grill melts the cheese, and you scrape the cheese off the half cheese that you got there onto your plate, and your plate is filled with potatoes and cold meats and all kinds of things. And it's just amazing. It's a wonderful meal. So if anybody ever comes this way, what we often do is get out the raclette machine and do raclette. It's pretty
amazing.
Special.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I can't wait to have some raclette one day.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
All right, Philip, final question. And I think the best question for our X29 podcast listeners to hear the answer to. I always love to hear these. Your favorite verse in our sacred scriptures and why?
So I talked to you about the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry that I read. And so it's kind of a verse that comes out of that kind of mindset of resting in God. And it's our Lord Jesus Christ who says to us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Amen.
Matthew 11, 28-30.
Amen. Amen. Why is that such a meaningful text to you?
Because I guess the idea of being, of laboring and being heavy laden is such an appropriate way of describing what life is like in the 21st century. And also in particular, what the life is like in a pandemic in the 21st century, or as a church leader in the 21st century. I think people out there listening are feeling heavy laden. They're laboring. Maybe they're trying to justify themselves through what they do. Maybe they're trying to justify themselves in the eyes of others. Maybe they're just trying to make it to the end of the day. And they're working not out of the rest that we have in Jesus, but they're working out of something else. They're working out of adrenaline. They're working out of duty. They're working out of all kinds of things that ultimately will lead them to a place of even greater burden and even greater weariness. And what Jesus is saying is, actually, if you come to me, to my person, to my work, to who I am, like once for all, but also daily, if you keep coming to me, then I will keep giving you rest. And you will be able to work differently and better out of the rest that I give you. As you come to know me in my gentle and lowly heart, then your souls, the very inner being that makes up you, that will be refreshed, restored, rested. And then even if you're extremely busy, even if you're working really hard, then you'll be doing it from a poise and a sense of deep rest in God. And that's what I want for my life. That's what, I mean, I came out of the June 2021 exhausted and wondering what was next. Meditating on rest during the summer, meditating on this verse in particular, on what God is offering us in Jesus. Really made a big difference to how I'm approaching this next season of my life and ministry.
Mm, that's a good word. That's a good word for all of us. We all know how difficult pastoral ministry and just gospel ministry can be, whether you're a small group discussion leader or whether you're a lead pastor or a deacon. It's very difficult and rewarding. And now add the pandemic and add controversies and all. This is an incredibly challenging season. Mm. And all the more reason why we need to continue to rest in Christ and be refreshed, renewed by Him and by one another and prayer. And so, Philip, thank you so much for joining the X29 podcast today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks very much, Jeff, for all you do. It's great to chat.
And listeners, be sure to check out the show notes, and you can find links to the Arch Project, to upcoming events, and you can find links to register for the global prayer meeting that's happening this Tuesday. And also, you should be checking your email inbox, and you have information there from X29 about our global gathering and European conference happening in Spain next year. And we would love to see you there to sign up. So go ahead, put it in your budgets, put it in your calendars, and we'd love to see you in Spain in 2022. I know I'll be there. Philip will be there. Maybe we'll have some raclette. Do they have raclette in Spain? Probably not, but they probably have something great.
They've got superb food in Spain, so you're not going to be disappointed, but raclette is not part of their culture.
All right, we'll find some cheese. I'm sure they have not as good as France. You know, that's kind of else.
To be fair, Manchega is a great cheese. They've got some great cheese. I wouldn't say the cheese in Spain is as good as the cheese in France. And I think even Spain would agree with that. But Spain has got, I think, the best ham in the world.
Yeah.
So if you're coming to Spain, then make sure you check out their raw ham. It's amazing.
There we go. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great conference. So check your email, check the X1N website, and we would love to see you in Spain next year. And so remember, brothers and sisters, let's keep planting churches into the ends of the earth.